If you're like me and you've been told you have fibroids, you might feel scared, as I did, and you're not sure if they can lead to cancer or if they're what's causing your bloating. You're really just not sure. To tell us about them today is Dr. Eric Lieberman. He's a minimally invasive gynecologic surgeon with Atlantic Medical Group's gynecology at Morristown. Dr. Lieberman, so glad to have you with us today. As I said, I have fibroids. A lot of my friends do. What do we know about fibroids? What are they?
First of all, thanks for having me on. So fibroids are basically benign growths of tumors that come from smooth muscles that are in the uterus. The uterus itself is an organ that's made up of smooth muscles, and it's just basically benign, non-cancerous growths within the uterus.
So then what are some symptoms? Would we know that we have them? How would we know?
So just it's first off important to understand that by the age of 50, 70 to 80% of women have fibroids. So it's very, very common. It's actually the most common cause for hysterectomies, which is taking out the uterus in the United States. And symptoms, they range, but symptoms usually women can have heavy vaginal bleeding or heavy bleeding with their periods. Women may experience bulk or symptoms of fullness in their pelvis, increased urinary frequency, where you feel like you have to go to the bathroom very often, or you go to the bathroom but you can't always get everything out, pain with intercourse sometimes women would experience. Those are usually the most common symptoms that women would experience.
So then, as I said in my intro, Dr. Lieberman, you know, you hear that there's something growing on your uterus, and right away a woman's thoughts turn to cancer. And so can they turn to cancer? Are they like colon polyps where they could be precancerous, or no, not mostly?
So mostly not. So there's been a lot of talk about this in the news and throughout the medical community in the last few years. But usually what we say the chance of cancer being present is about 1 in 770, all the way up to 1 in 10,000. So it's usually very rare, but it really depends on the age of the woman, the size of the fibroids, how quickly they've grown. So it's pretty rare. Definitely less than 1% have the potential to either turn into cancer or contain cancer.
Well, thank you for that answer, and I'm sure it will reassure many women. So why would you be checking for them? How do you diagnose them?
So first of all, when a woman comes and sees me and she's complaining of the symptoms I mentioned earlier, the heavy periods or the heavy bleeding with her periods or the pelvic pressure, usually a physical examination is performed in the office. And at that time, you're able to usually, you know, the physician's able to tell whether or not the uterus is enlarged and is the exam suggestive of fibroids. If that's the case and there's a concern, the next best test usually is a pelvic ultrasound, which is a very common procedure and has no radiation. And that's the best initial test to determine whether or not there are fibroids present.
So then if you do determine that, and you determine that a woman has fibroids, is treatment necessary? And if it is, why would you treat them?
So as I said before, so 70 to 80% of all women have fibroids. And of those, only 30% have symptoms. So not all women with fibroids need to have treatment. If they're causing symptoms that are bothersome, then yes, then we would talk about treatment option. Otherwise, like 80% of women have fibroids. Not all of them obviously need treatment. So only if they're causing problems.
And along those lines, if they are causing problem, what are some treatment options you would consider? What's the first line that you would look to?
Well, the first line is to individualize your discussion with the patient, because not every patient, the first line treatment is going to be the same. And also the location of the fibroids is very important. So if a woman is looking to get pregnant in the future, then your treatment option is going to be very different than a woman who is done having children. So in a woman that's looking to have treatment or looking to get pregnant in the future, it really depends upon the location of the fibroid and the size of the fibroid. So not all fibroids are equal. So if the location of the fibroid is near the cavity or in the cavity, then recommendation would be to remove that fibroid prior to the patient getting pregnant, because that could affect their ability to get pregnant or their ability to carry the child the full term. But if a woman's not looking to get pregnant, or if she's already in menopause, then we would tailor the options, the treatment options, towards non-fertility preserving procedures. So the uterine artery embolization again comes into play. And we would also look at hysterectomy. And the reason for that is that the chance of fibroids coming back is so high that if you're either not looking to get pregnant or you already completed having children or you're in menopause, the best option at the time usually is to take out the uterus, because if you just take out the fibroids, there's a very high chance, up to 60 to 70% chance, that new fibroids would form. So those would be my recommendations. And again, it's tailored individually to each patient.
Wow, that's so interesting. So what is that like? And if you are going to remove them, what's that procedure like?
So if the fibroids are within the cavity of the uterus and it's going to be affecting the ability to get pregnant, or even if not and they're within the cavity, there are certain minimally invasive procedures, something called the hysteroscopic fibroid resection, where basically a tiny camera is put in through the vagina into the uterus and the fibroid can be removed that way. And that's very minimally invasive. The patient goes home the same day and recovery is very rapid. However, if the fibroid is more extensive, then there's robotic-assisted surgery, which is also minimally invasive surgery that's done on a same-day procedure. And basically, the fibroid's removed that way, and the patient goes home the same day.
So if surgery is not something that you and the patient are discussing, are there non-surgical options, something that the woman can do to help relieve some of the symptoms that she might be getting from her fibroids?
So some of the symptoms, it depends. If heavy bleeding is the mainstay of her problems, and there are some medications that may help with her bleeding, there may be trying birth control pills for a trial of 3 to 6 months to see if that helps with the bleeding is one option. If a woman also desires contraception or birth control, another option could be the Mirena IUD. Again, it depends upon the size of the uterus and the location of the fibroid. There are some other medications that are currently under investigation that are not yet FDA approved for the treatment of heavy bleeding with fibroids. Those are more often used in Europe and Canada, but they're not yet FDA approved in the United States. So, you know, unfortunately right now there's not many options, especially if bulk symptoms are the mainstay of the patient's problem. There's some medications that can temporarily decrease the size of the uterus, but it should not be used as treatment.
That's really, really good information. So what else would you like women to know? Are there complementary or alternative things that they can try to help with their fibroids? And please tell us, while you're wrapping it up and giving us your best advice, do we keep a watch on them? Would you keep a watch on them to see if they're getting bigger, or do they just kind of hang out there and stay the same?
So I'd like to just, again, emphasize the fact that 70 to 80% of women by the age of 50 have fibroids. And of those, 30% are symptomatic, which is a large number of women. So if you're suffering with this, don't be embarrassed by it. You should definitely talk to your doctor about this. And you shouldn't have to suffer with heavy periods or bulk or pelvic pain symptoms. If your periods are very heavy and you have blood clots, you shouldn't assume that's normal. In terms of other therapies, there's also something called uterine artery embolization, some interventional radiology procedures that can be done, which can be helpful. But in terms of monitoring these, it is a good idea to see your gynecologist every year. And especially if you have fibroids, to keep a size, because some worrisome signs could be if they're rapidly growing in size from year to year, especially depending upon your age. You don't want to just let those go unchecked. So I would definitely keep an eye on those.
And do you have any final thoughts that you'd like women to know about how common these are? And really, that's a discussion you have with your physician.
Yeah, definitely. Again, it's very important to understand that it's very common. You know, women shouldn't be overly concerned about cancer or anything being present. However, we always need to keep that in mind. But again, the most important thing is to understand that women shouldn't have to suffer with this. There's now minimally invasive surgeries or procedures and some medications that can help, so women don't have to suffer with this. I think that's the most important takeaway message, is that there's minimally invasive same-day procedures, that recovery is, you know, days rather than weeks. So, you know, quality of life is very important. And again, women should realize that there's treatments that are minimally invasive that are not involving large cuts on your abdomen.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Lieberman, for coming on today and sharing your expertise and explaining to women about fibroids, which, as you say, are so common. Thank you again for joining us. That wraps up this episode of Building Healthier Communities with Atlantic Medical Group. For more information and to get connected with one of our providers, please call 908-378-7227 or visit us online at atlanticmedicalgroup.org. If you found this podcast informative, please share with other women you know. There are so many of us that have these, and share this great information and check out all the other interesting podcasts in our library. Until next time, I'm Melanie Cole.